You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
To my big brother George, the richest man in town.
That's a Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right.
Attaboy, Clarence.
How many of y'all love that movie? Isn't that a good one? Man, so good. That's one of my favorite Christmas movies. But the theology is terrible in that movie. That's the only problem. So when an angel gets his wings is not when a bell rings. They start with wings. We already got it. It's already happening. But it's a great movie, and I think you should watch it, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So Siena, Cypress, downtown, Loop Campus, Digital Family, as we jump in today, we're going to talk about angels is what we're going to talk about. As we're looking at this heavenly Christmas, to be able to get our eyes off all the stuff of earth, of Christmas, of the mall, parking spots, all the presents, all those sort of things, and to get our eyes up. Last week, we looked at the fact that Jesus is eternal. He was not born on Christmas. He is from eternity past to eternity future, that he is the eternal Savior that has come. And we're going to see today the presentation that God's going to give, the declaration God's going to give, the announcement God's going to give to say Jesus is arriving on planet Earth. And we're going to see that that declaration is with angels declaring that. We've had an amazing Christmas season at the church already. This weekend at the Loop Campus has been the story where we're talking about flight. And man, if you want to come, we got some tickets even for the 2:30 presentation today. You can grab online or come and get them here. But to be able to see the angels flying, to see this flight, that there's a declaration that God has given of Jesus Christ is coming to earth. And these angels already got their wings. They're not waiting for a good deed to be done. They're not waiting for a bell to ring. They've already got their wings. And so we're going to look at angels. I hope that you'll grab your listening guide that you got when you came in at any of our campuses, because you're going to want to take some notes here as we look into Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 is where we're going to start. And Luke 2 is just the classic Christmas passage. If you're not familiar with the Bible, you just put a little earmark here on Luke chapter 2. We'll give you a Bible. If you don't have one, you can take one home with you today. I have a Bible in front of you, in the seat in front of you. Most of our campuses are just ask somebody and they'll be able to give you one. But here's what it says in Luke 2, talking about the birth of Christ. Here's what it says. In the same regions, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. So we're going to jump into a couple more scriptures in just a minute, but catch the scene in Luke chapter 2. Actually, in the book of Luke, we've already seen some angels show up. An angel has showed up to Elizabeth and said to Zechariah, the husband, and Elizabeth, and said, you're going to have a son. That's going to be John the Baptist. Then an angel has showed up to Mary and said, you're going to have a baby. And so we've already seen a couple angels, and now we get to chapter 2, and it's the shepherd's turn to be able to see these angels giving this declaration. Now let's do a little angelology for just a minute, and then we'll jump into the passage of scripture. First of all, angels are heavenly messengers. The Greek word for angel actually means messenger. So they are the messengers. They're not the Messiah. We're not to worship angels. We're not to bow down to angels. Angels are heavenly messengers. They are declaring the message. Now, of course, we respect them and all of those sort of things, but the wonder of angels is great. The worship of angels is not, okay? And so here these angels show up to the shepherds. They've shown up to Elizabeth and Zechariah. They've shown up to Mary. And here they are showing up now to the shepherds. Now, angels give message. They're biblical. They're biblical. They're mentioned in 34 books of the Bible. In the Old Testament, over 100 times angels are mentioned. In the New Testament, 165 times they're mentioned. So we've got a lot of angels mentioned all throughout. And we're intrigued by this. Billy Graham, back in the 70s, in 1970s, he released a book called Angels. And it was one of the first books to go to be a bestseller and to hit the 1 million mark within 4 months. Now, all of our stuff is skewed, you know, nowadays with more people and more books and all that. But that was a big deal in 1975 that he was selling this book called Angels, because people were like, I need to know. I want to know about it. So angels are biblical. Angels are messengers. We see them in the Old Testament. We see them in the New Testament. Christ referenced angels as real beings, that they're ministering to him even in the wilderness. Now, they're always in the Bible depicted as male, but it doesn't really matter. They're spiritual beings, okay? So they don't reproduce. It's not the same thing as like a man and a woman. But oftentimes we'll see angels depicted as babies. Well, we got no baby angels in the Bible, I just want you to know. These angels are like scare you out of your boots angels, we'll see in just a second. Not sweet little, oh, that's nice. Come here, sit in my lap, Mr. Angel. It's powerful dudes. We've got Michael mentioned. We've got Gabriel mentioned. Those are the only two with names we get in the Bible. So where are some times in the Bible that we can see angels being messengers? Well, here's what typically happens. They're typically messengers. They're all throughout the Bible. You see them in big moments when there's a big shift about something to happen in the Bible. Big things happen. Angels are going to show up and they're going to declare it. It's like a king showing up. King Charles walking in and somebody's blowing a trumpet. A carriage is coming through. There's a big, big statement. I gave you a few examples and some verses there. In creation, they joined in the praise of creation, that they shouted for joy is what it says in Job chapter 38. In the giving of the Mosaic Law, we see that in Galatians 3, but also we see it in Hebrews 2:2, that they were there in the giving of the law to Moses. Christmas that we're talking about today. Easter, remember the passage in Easter when the ladies go to the tomb and what do they see? They see two men dressed in white. There's angels at the tomb. They've rolled the stone away. So a big moment in creation, angels are there. Big moment in the law, angels are there. Big moment at Christmas, angels are there. Big moment at Easter, angels are there. Well, your next big moment biblically is going to be the early church in Acts, the book of Acts. It's a whole new thing. We're shifting from worship at the temple and the Old Testament law to now the New Testament church. Big, big deal. So angels are all throughout the book of Acts. We've got angels coming down in chapter 10 with Cornelius. We've got they're in jail. When the disciples are in jail, angels are setting them free. We've got some early church angels. And then we've got as well in the second coming of Christ. We celebrate the first coming of Christ here at Christmas, but Jesus is going to return. We can't forget that, because if we just think this is just earthly stuff, Jesus is coming back. Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in glory, all of his angels, all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in a heavenly glory. 1 Thessalonians says this in 4:16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call, and the dead in Christ will rise again. So when Jesus returns, it's going to be a big switch, right? The angels are going to be there to declare it. So they are declaring things to get our attention. The package is so good, the presentation's got to match, right? So it's not just like, God's on the move today. He is on the move today. But when something is a big shift, there's an angelic declaration. That's an amazing thing. The package, what's in it, that's the big thing. But the presentation is huge. Don't you see that in Christmas right now? What do we do with packages, with a gift? We don't just give the gift. We wrap it up. The presentation is there. We pull out, if it's a big one, we're going to video this one. We say, this is your special gift. We let the kids run down the stairs, come run into the tree. The presentation is a big deal to have it all arranged like that, because what we're giving is a big deal. So we want the presentation to match. But there's a little bit of a difference between men's presentation and women's presentation on packages. Is this true in your house? Well, let me just give you a little bit of an example. We got an Amazon box yesterday, as we seem to get every day, all the time, which is great, which is great. And we got this box, and here's what it said on the side here of this box. It said here, from box to gift box, just like that. This is a man's dream of efficiency right here. Absolutely incredible. So what you do as a man, you just check and you look and you go, ah, that's what I ordered. Take out the receipt, put it in your pocket, put it here. And then you think, well, how am I going to seal this again? Duct tape works for everything. I can do this with duct tape. This is going to be great. I'll do this with duct tape. And then you think, no. I love my wife so much. I'll use red duct tape. That's what I'll use. Red duct tape. And I'll get that red duct tape going and we'll get it. We'll just pull it right across here and tape that up. And that's great. And Amazon has made it so nice for me and so easy. I've already got right here the to and from. So that's all I get. So now I get my Sharpie and I just write here to my lovely wife from me and I put it under the tree, right? How's that going to go, ladies? But guys, we feel like helpful because then when she can't get it open, we say, well, I have a pocket knife here. We'll just slice it right here and we'll do this. So they are thinking about men from the box to a gift box just like that. We'll just make it to and from and we'll take that and we'll stick that one right under the tree and everything will be perfect just like that. But then there's how my wife would do it. And this is what it looks like. It may be a pair of socks, but it's going to look good. This is an actual gift from under our tree. I don't know what's in it, but I know it's beautiful on the outside. Now, the truth is, we know this, what's inside the cardboard box and what's inside the beautiful box, that's what really matters. That's the real deal. A diamond ring can go in either one, okay? Kelly, don't get your hopes up, but it could go in either one. And it'd be great. But the presentation says something special's coming. And I want you to get, as we look into this passage of scripture, and we see in just a moment how God is declaring to shepherds. They were the lowest people of the society. He's going to declare to shepherds in such a way that the heavens are going to light up. The angels are going to come. It's going to be a whole lot of them. And they're going to declare, dun, 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 Jesus is coming. We saw him in creation. We saw him in the giving of the law. We saw them in Christmas. We saw them in Easter. We saw them at the early church. We'll see him at the second coming. And we're here looking here at Christmas in the shepherd's field. Now, angels show up in a lot of other places, no doubt about it. I'm just giving you a few examples. You can do a whole study on angels. So let's look, if you will, in verse 10. Verse 10. Verse 8 and 9 is the shepherds are going to see angels. They're coming. Verse 10, but the angel said to them. Who said it? The angel said to them, don't be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. He's saying this to shepherds, all the people, everybody, even you guys. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah. The Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. Let's continue on. Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts. That's an army of angels with the angel praising God and saying glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to who peace on earth to people he favors. Verse 15, when the angels had left them and returned to heaven, where are they going? Back to heaven. The shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. So here we go. A heavenly Christmas means three things. Here's three things I want to give you about angels and a heavenly Christmas. The first thing is this. God offers, God's involvement should bring trust instead of fear. God's involvement should bring trust instead of fear. Every time angels show up, just about, The first thing they say is, do not be afraid. Okay? It's in the little baby angel. It's a massive angel, an angelic being, a heavenly being. It's coming from heaven to earth. And when earth and heaven collide, earth gets a little bit afraid, as we should. So the angels show up. If you're ever in a Bible trivial pursuit and they say, what did the angels say? Always say, do not be afraid. That's what they always say. Because there's something about angels. When they show up, even with a smile, you go, whoa. But God's involvement, let's take it home, in our lives should bring trust instead of fear. And I just ask you this Christmas, are you afraid of God being involved in your life? We do that a bit, don't we? Lord, you can have this area, but you can't have this area. Lord, I'll give you my job, but I won't give you my kids. God, I'll give you my money, but I won't give you my time. God, I'll give you my time, but I won't give you my attention. God, I'll give you a little bit of control, but I want to stay at least one hand on the wheel, God. And we have a way of being afraid of allowing God to be involved in our lives. I became a Christian when I was a teenager. And when I was a teenager, friendships are so important to you all through your life, but particularly as a teenager. I was so afraid of letting God have my friends. What would I do if I really walked with God and my friends didn't accept that? How would that work? Students, listen, God's provided more friends for me than I've ever could have imagined. I got so many friends, I don't even know all their names anymore, right? It's a blessing. But when you give God something, he's going to give you something back in a wonderful way. Not that he's a Coke machine that you're just going to be able to put a little money in and get that back, or you're going to just get some kind of, you do this and he's going to do it back. He doesn't owe you anything. But when you give God something, he takes that surrender and he sees it. And now you are able to be blessed. You're in a position to be blessed because you're not going to take it for yourself. You're going to keep surrendering it. So what do? We keep doing this. We get from heaven. We give to the Lord. We get and give. We get and give. We get and give. We get and give. And we just become, watch, a conduit for the Holy Spirit and for the living water of Christ to flow through. We're a pipe is what we are, to let God do his work. So I just want to encourage you, if you are afraid of God's involvement in your life, he declares, today I give you great news, I give you good news of great joy in verse 10 that will be for all people, even you. Great news, good news of great joy. I don't want any of that. You don't? You don't want any good news of great joy? Go home, watch the news tonight, and see if you need some good news of great joy in your life. Watch what's going on in your own heart, not just in the world, but in our own hearts. God brings us in his involvement in our life good news of great joy, and the Savior comes for all people. Everybody, the shepherds and the wise men, the top, the bottom of society, the highest rung, the lowest rungs in that society, in our society as well. And God doesn't see it like that. He sees everybody as souls. He doesn't see it in gradations like we see it. But to be able to see as God sees and say, Lord, thank you that you're for me and that you love me and you care for me, no matter if I got this or I got that, if I'm this or I'm that, doesn't matter. You've come from all people. And God, I want your involvement in my life. How did Mary respond? Luke chapter 1, verse 38. She responded to the angel and said, as in accordance to your word, let it be with me. In accordance to your word, God, whatever you want, let it be with me. That's called surrender. And the Christian life, Siena, Cyprus, downtown, digital family, this Christian life is a life of surrender. That's what it is. Not a life of control, a life of surrender, because one who is wise upon all wisdom, he's the one that we want to have control. So the first thing is this, is we want to let God's involvement in our life bring trust, not fear. Do you fear God in serving with your time? Do you fear God in giving your morality to him? Do you fear God in giving him to him monetarily, to stepping into tithing and a giving posture of your heart? Do you fear God in sharing your faith? Do you fear God in walking with him in a great way? Do you fear reading the Bible because you don't know if you'll understand it or what will happen? Just start in Luke and start reading. You'll enjoy the Bible. It's a great book. And it's a life-changing book. It's an eternal book. It's the Word become flesh and dwelt among us in an amazing way. The second thing is this: God offers salvation and direction. God offers salvation and direction. So when we think about a heavenly Christmas, the first thing we got to start is with trust, not fear. Say, Lord, you've declared something great. It's an amazing presentation. I mean, all of heaven is screaming out. And the angels in this presentation, they were a bright light in a dark night is what they were. And that's what we need in our lives. And when we realize God is offering salvation and he's offering direction, he tells them in verse 11, he says, today in the city of David, a Savior is born for you. That's Bethlehem, who is the Messiah, the Lord. That means the Savior, the Messiah. And he will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. And then if you jump back down to verse 16, you'll find, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. What God said, or what the angels said they would find, they found. So here's what God brings. This is the heavenly Christmas. Why did Jesus come? Well, so we could have Santa. No, Jesus didn't come so we could have Santa. Jesus came so we could have salvation is why he came. So that the Messiah has come. What is salvation? Salvation is when I surrender my life to God. And I say, Lord, I surrender my sin to you on the cross. And I ask that you would take that sin and you would then trade it and you'd give me your righteousness. See, salvation is a trade. I take my sinfulness and I give it to Jesus and he gives me his righteousness. So now I'm clothed in righteousness. I walk in righteousness and God's righteousness, his spirit is in me. He lives inside of me. I'm just a pipeline to be used by God. I've surrendered to him and now I'm saved in him because of Jesus' free gift on the cross and his resurrected life. So if you don't know 100% sure that you're going to heaven when you die, I didn't know until I was 16 years old. You pray. We'll give you an opportunity at every campus. I'll give it to you right now. You pray and you say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive my sins and wash me clean and live in my heart. I want you to be my Savior. You pray that with the sincerity of your heart, the whisper of your lips. God will save your soul. And then he will give you direction. He will give you direction. So surrender to salvation, to direction. What do we want? We want a bunch of direction, and then I'll decide if I want salvation, and then I'll decide if I'm going to surrender to you. That's not the way the equation works. We surrender, and the surrender brings salvation, and in the salvation, we're able to walk in direction, and the shepherds get, just like the wise men are going to get a star, they get a sign as well, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger, so they head off to Bethlehem. They know that's the city of David. They know where to go. Then they know what they're looking for. And in verse 16, they find it exactly like they are expecting and like they're looking for, which is amazing to think about. God offers salvation and direction. And so I just ask you, do you need direction in your life? Do you need direction in your marriage? Do you need direction in your parenting? Students, do you need direction in picking a college and picking a high school and whether you're going to be on this sports team or that sports team, or you're going to be in the band, or you're going to be in theater? What are you going to be involved in? What friend group is going to be your friend group? Do you need direction? Let God give you that direction. Let God give you that direction. There's a friend of mine, I've been praying for his son. He doesn't live in our city, different city. And he asked me to pray for his son, that his son would just have some friends. It's just what he's looking for. He just needs a couple friends. So I've been praying diligently for my friend's son. And as I was praying, I prayed just yesterday when I was praying for him, I was like, Lord, I've been praying, just bring him friends. And then I began to pray yesterday, Lord, I pray that you would put on this young man's heart that he would ask you to bring him friends. See it? Because if we get it, sometimes we don't know where we got it from. It's like a present without a tag on it. Now, who gave me this present? Oh, I'll just open it up. God would be who this kid would turn to and say, would you bring me some friends, Lord? And then God would provide and he would say, thank you, God, that you brought me those friends. How do I know how to pray like that? Because I had to pray for friends like that. Because I lost a lot of my friends when I became a Christian. And I had to ask God to give me friends. And I watched him do it. God will give you direction in your life. Call upon him and ask him to direct you. Direct your business dealings. Direct your vocation. Direct your family. Direct your heart. Direct your needs, what you think you need. Sometimes what we think we need and what we really need. God, would you help me with that? And here we have the shepherds, these ones that are used to leading sheep. Now they're being led like a sheep. Used to being the shepherd, now they're turning to the shepherd. Used to being in charge, turning to the one who's in charge. Used to being looking up at a starry night, the night is now filled with angels, and they're going, wow, let's get this and let's go for this. God can direct you. Here's what's really cool. Two things I want you to know about this. We're going to talk about the wise men on Christmas Eve and how they were directed, but these guys were directed by angels. They're tending sheep in Bethlehem. What sheep were in Bethlehem? The sheep in Bethlehem were where they held the sheep that would be slaughtered as a sin offering in Jerusalem. See the Bible coming together? The angels show up to the shepherds that are tending the sacrificial lambs and tell them a Messiah is coming. And they went, whoa. And we'll read later on in a different passage. John says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world when he sees Jesus. So these guys are tending these sheep. And the angel says, oh, you want a sheep? I got a sacrificial lamb that's coming, and his name is Jesus. He's going to be the Passover lamb for all of eternity. And the Old Testament's going to move into the New Testament, and the Old Testament's going to turn into the New Testament church, and salvation's going to come by the blood of the cross. Do you see all that happening right here? It isn't a fluke he showed up at this field. He showed up at this field because of these sheep that are being tended by these guys so that they would know that there is a Messiah that is coming. How cool is that? The angels know where to go. They know where to get there. They know when to get there. They know exactly how it is. I don't know if you've ever heard of this missionary. He's a famous missionary named John Patton. Not General Patton. That's a whole nother guy, okay? John Patton. He was a missionary in the New Hebrides Islands. That's out in the Pacific. He and his wife were there, and they were ministering. It was a dangerous place to minister. And one night, all of these villagers came around their house. And the goal of the villagers was to light their house on fire so that he and his wife would run out of the house, and then these villagers would take these two missionaries and they would kill them. That was the goal of the evening. And they got in their house, probably little, thatched hut type thing, and they began to pray and pray and pray, God, would you protect us? God, would you help us? We're here for your glory. We just want to be a pipeline for you. We just want you to use us, God. We're nothing special, but Father, we pray, we pray, we pray, we pray. And this man and his wife prayed throughout the entire night. And the villagers just went away. A year later, the chief of the tribe was converted to Christ. He came to know Jesus as his Savior. And so John Patton asked this chief after he'd become a Christian, he said, when y'all circled our house that night, why didn't you light it on fire and try to kill us? Why did you leave? And he said, because we saw hundreds of men standing around your house with swords drawn. Hello. That's angel armies protecting the people of God for the gospel of God to go forward. Can we give a cheer, all campuses? Praise God for that. I hope that gives you chill bumps, actually. That this chief said, we saw hundreds of men with swords drawn standing around your tent. And he even said, with shining garments, circling the mission statement, station. That was there. Number three, give God the praise he deserves. Give God the praise he deserves. That's what's happening in this passage. Do you see it here in verse 13? Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts. I'm going to tell you about multitude in just a second. Suddenly a multitude of heavenly hosts. And they were saying, glory to God in the highest heavens and peace on earth to people he favors. And when the angels left, they returned to heaven. And then the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Give God the praise he deserves. If we're going to have a heavenly Christmas, we've got to welcome God's involvement in our life, not fear it. We've got to also trust in his salvation and his direction. And then lastly and thirdly, we have to be able to give God the praise that he deserves. Now, praise is kind of a churchy word, but it means just like applause. It means, yeah, it means you're the one. It means you're number one. It means you get the Heisman, Lord, every year. That's what it means. You're the man. And we want to give you the praise that you deserve. So it says a multitude of heavenly hosts. So let's get a little glimpse of how many angels are there. Now, we don't know. There was arguments in the history of the church over how many angels could dance on the head of a pin. Worthless argument, okay? Who cares? But there's a lot of angels. Daniel chapter 7, verse 10, thousands and thousands served him, and 10,000s times 10,000s stood before him. Revelation chapter 5. And then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000s. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. For you have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. Psalm 68, verse 17. The chariots of God are tens of thousands and thousands of thousands that the Lord has come from Sinai into his sanctuary. Heavenly armies of angels acting on your behalf and my behalf, protecting us in ways we don't know. Really want me to get you spooked out right now in this room at this very moment in Cyprus, in Siena, in downtown. Angels among us, and they come to declare the Messiah. And the angel's response was, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. How amazing. Do you know the song, Angels We Have Heard on High? Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest. Straight from the scriptures, that song, when you hear it sung this Christmas. So we give God the praise that he deserves. As we wrap this up, what happens? The angels return to heaven. And the shepherds go to Jesus. So what do we do today? Here's what we do today. The angels return to heaven, so to speak, in the sense of heavenly Christmas. And you and I, just like the shepherds, we walk in obedience to get closer and closer to Christ, to trust him deeper and deeper, not in fear, but in trust, so that we get to that place. And here's what's so great about the New Testament. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, it's not holding a baby, it's the Holy Spirit in you. And now he fills your heart. He's put a spiritual gift in you. He's put things in you and heartfelt desires and things that are important to you for God's kingdom. And now he uses you in a powerful way as you make, if you will, your journey to Bethlehem. And you shepherd your family, and you shepherd your office place, and you shepherd your school students, and you shepherd as you follow the great shepherd, and you let God work those things out. And you say, glory to God in the highest. For anything you've given me, God, I give it back to you. And I'm just going to get and give and get and give. And my whole life is going to be receiving from heaven and giving to make a difference for heaven. And that's all I'm going to do. On and on and on. God, work in my life. God, direct my path. And I will give you all the glory. You see it? I want you in my life. According to your word, may it be with me. Direct my path. There'll be a baby. There'll be this couple. It'll be in a manger. It's going to be in Bethlehem. There's going to be a star. It's going to lead you. Everything. Direct my life, God. And then the result is not, man, I got it so good. I'm blessed, brother. Glory to God in the highest. So, heavenly Christmas. I want you to do a couple things just as homework. One, I want you to notice angels on the top of trees, Christmas trees. Two, I want you to notice, even maybe on your Christmas tree, how many angels you have somewhere around your Christmas decorations or different places like that. We got angels on our tree that were made by my kids when they were little, made out of macaroni. And we got beautiful angels that were given as a gift, and I'm sure cost a lot of money, that are gorgeous. All of those are just a small little thing of the ones who hold the sword. Let's walk with God. We're not going to worship angels. But we respect them. We're going to worship God and let him do what he wants as he declares important things in our life. So do your homework, see some angels, see where you see them around, and just say, I know a little bit more about that. And I for sure know that when a bell rings, they don't get wings. They already got them. I know that. And I know that God sent them to be an awesome package or presentation of the awesome package of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. You're so good. You're so mighty. Thank you for the declaration of creation, the declaration of the Mosaic Law, the declaration of Christmas and Easter and the early church, the second coming of Christ. And we're just telling you, Lord, we want to be directed by the Holy Spirit. We want to be directed by Jesus Christ, God the Father. So we come, God. We do pray for you to use angels as protection for us. We don't worship them. You're the Messiah. You're the Savior. These heavenly beings, Lord, they're real. They're real. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, oh, I got such a burden for you. Would you turn to Jesus? Ask him to be your Savior, to forgive you of your sins. Just say that, Lord, be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Live inside of me. Take me to heaven when I die. I place all my faith and trust in you. If you already know Christ as your Savior, would you just pray a simple prayer and say, Lord, I don't want to fear your involvement in my life. I ask for your involvement in my life. I ask you to be involved in my life and direct my path. I trust you. I'm not afraid. I'm trusting. Father, you're on the move in our church. Every campus, every seat, every heart. And we want to give you all the glory, God. No glory to facilities, no glory to people, no glory to our rich history. All glory to God we give you. And we just say that to you, God. We mean that. Do your work. In our hearts, our homes, our church. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.